sometimes it seems that life is just a series of power plays. It's all about who has power over whom. But there's a different sort of power, the power of God. There's nothing at all that compares to God's power. And that extraordinary power is available to anyone who trusts in Jesus. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at this whole power thing from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest limited edition book. It's called Your Road to a Stunning Life, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you be all that God made you to be. Hey, I wonder what the word power means to you. Power is what flows through the light bulb when we flick the switch on the wall. Seems that every time I turn around, there's another power bill in my letterbox, and the price is always going up. Power is that thing that people in government, that officials, that a bank manager exercises over us. We call them actually people in positions of power. Sometimes they exercise it wisely, other times not so much. Power is something that many people spend a lifetime striving for, to get more of it, to be someone who is in a position of power. You see it sometimes in petty low and middle-level bureaucrats who become little despots just so that they feel that they have power over you. And then there's another type of power. It's a type of power that's set completely apart from any other kind of power that you and I know about, think about, or have ever experienced. And that power is the power of God. Why is it different? Because it's greater than any other power that you and I can ever imagine. Think of the immense power in one lightning bolt. It's so powerful that it's seriously scary. Well, all the power in every lightning bolt that has ever bolted since the dawn of time is just a drop in the ocean compared to the power of God. And today we're going to talk about that power, because it's that very power that's the key to living an extraordinary life. Because I'm your kind of rational, sane, down-to-earth kind of guy, one of the ruts that I can easily get stuck into is imagining that, well, the outcomes of everything I do in life and in ministry, whatever, that outcome is actually up to me. The harder I work, the longer I work, the faster I work, the more I'll get done, the more items I'll be able to check off my to-do list, and the more impact I'll be able to have in people's lives. But quite a few years ago, God convicted me to, in fact, pray more and do less. Let me say that again. Pray more and do less. The other day on the program, I mentioned the young woman at my church, Lucy, who was convicted through one of the posts on my blog site to do exactly that. And you know what she reported? She said, wow, the things I do just have so much more impact these days. After just a month, I'm having all these conversations with my friends about Jesus, and one by one, they're coming to faith in him. I smiled to myself, because that's exactly what I found when I decided to pray more and do less. And do you know why it is that when we pray more and do less, we get more done? It's because prayer unleashes the power of God. And it's the power of God that makes for an extraordinary life on this earth, because the power of God is so much greater than anything we can ever begin to imagine. Now, engaging that power is something that Jesus didn't seem to have much of a problem with. He just did it. You and I, of course, will say, yeah, well, okay, what do you expect? I mean, he's the Son of God. Of course he had all the power. That's him. I'm just me. Well, let's take a look at how he tapped into that power, the power of God, to do extraordinary things. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed in terrible distress. And he said to him, I'll come and cure him. But the centurion answered, Lord, look, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to the other, come, and he comes. To my slave, I say, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and he said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and from the west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while their heirs, the heirs of the kingdom, will be thrown into the outer darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion he said, go, let it be done for you according to your faith. And the servant was healed that very hour. Let me ask you something. Was there any uncertainty in Jesus' mind about the power that God had given to him? Apparently not. He just did what came before him, and what came before him that day was a man of faith. Importantly, not one of God's chosen people, not a Jew, but a Roman officer, one of the foreigners, one of the Gentiles whose job it was to occupy and oppress God's chosen people. But he was a man with faith. In fact, it was a faith so great that Jesus marveled at it. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it was the man's faith that caused the power to flow through Jesus and onto the centurion's servant, who, by the way, was nowhere to be seen. Remote control, distance healing. Pretty amazing stuff. No wonder Jesus marveled at this man's faith. By way of sharp contrast, when Jesus was in his own hometown of Nazareth, he was able to perform very few miracles indeed. Why? Well, let's have a look, because Mark in his gospel account tells us in chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Look, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I love that. With a centurion, Jesus marveled at the size of his faith. Here, he was amazed at the size of the unbelief in his own hometown. It seems to me that one of the keys to an extraordinary life is extraordinary faith. Faith that goes against reason. Faith in the miracle-working power of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I've scoured the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus never turned anyone away who came to ask him to perform a miracle, to pour out the power of God upon their lives. Not a one. Why do we walk around in the miry clay, feet heavy, shoulders hunched, when we have access to the indescribable power of God to get his will done on this earth? Question for you today. Would you rather that Jesus marveled at your extraordinary faith in him or your extraordinary unbelief in him? Would you rather he walks away pinching himself to make sure that the faith he's just seen in you was real, or that he walks away shaking his head, wondering how you could display such manifest unbelief in this Jesus in whom you confess to believe? There are so many things in this life that you and I can't do. There are so many mountains we can't move. There are so many things that are going on that are way beyond us. Have you noticed God calls us into places and situations to do things we simply can't do in our own strength? It happens all the time. What's the matter with us that we imagine that we have to do this stuff in our own strength? Sure, life's full of the mundane. It's full of challenges. It's full of hardships. But life is also full of the power of God for anyone who believes in this miracle-working Son of God, Jesus Christ. It seems to me that the difference between an ordinary life and an extraordinary life is a bit like the difference between, well, those locals in Nazareth and that centurion who came to Jesus in faith. Always feel as though life's dealt us a fair hand, as though we have some destiny that we're meant to fulfill. But with God at the helm, he definitely has an amazing plan for you. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our limited edition book, Your Road to a Stunning Life. We're not talking here stunning by the world's standards, but by God's standards, a life of impact, a life where he works powerfully through the gifts he's given you. Friend, God's word is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you through this book to lay hold of the amazing life of impact that he has planned for you. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that ebook will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.